Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello. Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast. We as back, episode 294. Great promises is big, amazing things when the 300th comes along. It may involve stripping or I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but we'll see. We'll lead up to the big man. I'm Stockings as well. I want to see Stockings. Yeah. I'm Trev as always. He's preparing. I'm Trev as always, and I'm joined by the usual colleagues.
Reganger 25. Hello.
And Matt, also known as Irish Guardian on pretty much anything and everything that you want.
Everything
I want. Including the fans. All the fans.
Any fans.
As well.
Yeah.
Any fans. Right. Okay. So we actually probably going to just kick right off with some Gamescom stuff, but just kind of some of the highlights briefly that we'll talk about today, some of the interesting subjects. And it's going to be a long one, and yes, you did say that, boys, before you inquire. Black Ops 7 and Starfield coming to the Switch 2, we're touching on that. Destiny Rising, the mobile game, I'm intrigued by that. And of course, Gamescom, which is still going on at the moment. A roving reporter, in fact, I think he's back now, a roving reporter, he's about to leave, Hans Magel from Hill.
Yeah,
he's going to Gamescom this weekend. It's a full week thing. I think it's on for like most of the week. He is going there to maybe get some pictures or some video or some B footage for us for Gray to stick in the edit for probably next week's show. So we will talk Gamescom today, and then we'll talk about it more next week because there's so much of it, guys. There's so much of it. So, Mr. Matthew, you put down the Gamescom point. So do you want to kick it off of what you've seen, what you like, and then we'll jump in with our opinions and stuff as well?
Yeah, sure. Well, other than the usual ones that we know, Battlefield 6, which is looking good. And within that, they actually updated Battlefield 2042 to make it much better. I played a little bit yesterday and I couldn't see any difference at all. It still looks pretty shit to me.
I have a question for you guys, Matt, too,
already.
Since you mentioned it. Why would they... I read about this the other day. Why would they bother putting an update to 2042, which many people hate, before the main one comes out?
Great. I'll get to it. That's one of my points.
All right.
I'll get to it. All right. So to be continued on that one. I think it might be a little sniffle of a delay maybe as well. But we'll see. Hmm. We'll see. So the ones that I've seen and gone, oh my God, that looks good. There's like a new sci-fi horror first person that's coming out at the end of this year called Routine. That looks really good. There's the driving simulator, truck simulator called Road Kings.
That's for you.
Of course, a simulator, man. Of course, yeah. It's Matthew.
But it adds a lot more than what you have on Europe. What's it, Euro?
Euro Truck Simulator. Euro Truck Simulator.
Where I think it's more of a story base driven as well as going around. You got like a 40-ton.
A story? That's not a simulation.
I think there's a story hidden in there somewhere.
It's a simulated story.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
So you're going around transporting cargo, whatever you have, to the American South. Managing multiple jobs, going through different trailers and routes. And also you're having to battle weather as well. So it's not just driving there in a rainstorm. You got hurricanes, you got tornadoes.
It's American Truck Simulator then. Is that what you're saying?
Hurricane with, as well, with a difference. It? Yeah, with a big difference. And that comes out in 2026. So that'd be interesting.
If it's a hurricane, that means you can get blown off the road?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Really? Damages, trucks, you know, you're flying. I don't know what. You might not be even in Kansas. Who knows?
Anymore,
yes. That's right. Anymore, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let's click there your heels. Go. That's it.
Yeah, so you got Sonic Racing Cross Worlds.
Plus,
it's actually got a free DLC of Pac-Man.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm saying so
that. Yeah, yeah. Pac-Man driving around with you as well, sort of thing. As a.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's coming out good.
On
like
the 25th of September. That's pretty near coming. They've also got Lords of the Fallen 2. The first one was free, I'm sure.
I think so.
Let it go for free. Yeah. But this one is paid. And if you go back to the old one, you have to pay like about £2 or something.
Awesome.
So that's a bit different. But it does look really good, especially graphics.
Yeah, we all should assume that the games will be $70 to $80.
Don't you start. It's going to be set 100 years after the last game, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Lords of the Fallen, so that'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks brilliant. You also got Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. And I'm hoping they do justice with it.
Justice.
Justice.
Yeah.
I'm Lego.
So it'd be quite good to see that. It'd be interesting. Also, Indiana Jones, The Great Circle is coming to Switch 2. So that's interesting how they're doing.
Well, that'll be interesting. That's a pretty shiny game, actually. So I wonder how that'll
change. Yeah. Another one that I haven't seen, it was up on the show, but it's not up on Steam or anything yet. It's called Cinder City, which is a Korean game made very ambitious MMO tactical shooter by Big Fire Games, also known as NC Soft. It looks really good. It looks fantastic. It looks like a co-op MMO where you go off into the suburban areas and you have to loot and shoot and all that stuff.
Well,
it looks
graphically try that one.
Gorgeous. Absolutely. Another one they showed, which you guys would be interested in, is Enshrouded, the update 7.
I want to talk about that later.
That's really gorgeous. I can't wait.
Another one that they had, I'll stop at this one or else I'll be there all day, is Ghost of Yatai. And those who buy the base game will also get a free DLC with the game as well. So there you go. Those are my ones. Ghost of Yatai looks beautiful.
You guys noticing a trend here? Absolutely. Because the games are costing $70, $80 and going free DLC when it comes out.
Sweetener.
Yeah,
hey, I'm not
absolutely.
Complaining.
No, it's a big DLC as well. So
they
got to
do something.
Quite a lot,
if you're going to pay that kind of money and you know you're getting a $15, $20 DLC, now it hurts a little less.
Yeah.
True. Great. What have you seen at Gamescom so far? I must admit, I haven't seen a hell of a lot, guys, apart from stuff I've read online, but I know these two have seen a lot more. Have you seen anything interesting, Gray, that you want to discuss?
I mean, I can go into it now or just wait for my stories to come up. I mean, I saw Enshrouded. I liked what I saw. How can you not like it? Enshrouded is a great game.
Yeah.
The Indiana Jones DLC looked really great. The Order of the Giants looked super. I can go into it now or I can wait till
then. Yeah, I'll tell you what then, since we've kind of touched upon it a little bit, we'll just go through the stuff we've got. So we will come back to more Gamescom a little bit. We've got several games. Instead of just putting it all under Gamescom, we've just actually put it under different sections to break it up, make it sound a little bit more interesting for you guys, you know. The most essential, important topic of every podcast is the beautifully titled Some Sort of Hardware News from Matt. Beautiful. It's beautiful. You're a poet. So you've got some stuff for us, my man. Microsoft, Google. Oh, go. What's going on here?
Yeah. They've got pow. Fisticuffs. Here we go.
A fight.
Everybody, yeah, that's it. AI fight. Here we go.
Who would win, actually, between them? They're huge companies. I say Google now.
Yeah.
They should make a movie like Pacific Rim.
I find Google AI is more fighting. Might be cool. Yeah, do it.
Coco Shop.
Yeah, Coco, go get your strawberries. Strawberries. Cheese. Microsoft have launched an aggressive talent raid on Google's DeepMind.
Oh, God.
Yes, they're raiding now. They've gone in.
Did they just sack people and they want to hire people again? Are we actually taking the piss here? Mm-hmm. We've got to be having a laugh, Matt.
Well, they might fire them before they hire them. You never know. Or pay them at least.
This,
yeah, we're not going to pay
gonna
them.
Get, this is going to get more common as time goes on. They're all going to be raiding each other.
Yeah,
yeah, but the American system is, sorry, Gray, like, this is the whole, you can fire someone without, with very little cause. That's so illegal in Europe. It's wrong. Yeah, but sorry, but it's not Gray's fault, but.
If these guys are signed under a contract, Gray, and they can't do that, but apparently they're not in a contract, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, if they have the right, they're like freelancing them, and they 1066, then yeah.
You know what's going to happen, although we're not going to see that, is they're going to have like the favorites, right? And their pay is going to go from like 80,000 a year to 180,000 a year.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be bidding on these people when they raid. Like, yeah, we want you over here. We'll pay you $30,000 more a year. Okay, hold on a second.
For the first year.
All right, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm hired.
That's it, absolutely. So, yeah, they've recruited more than 24 top engineers over the past 6 months to accelerate its co-pilot and broader AI ambitions. This marks a dramatic escalation in the rivalry between the two giants, tech giants, I was going to say, but tech giants decided to become gents. As they go for supremacy in the artificial intelligence. So Microsoft poached at least 24 people, including senior figures like Amar Subramanian.
Who?
Beautiful.
Amar Subramanian.
Yeah.
No.
Subramanian.
That's almost as bad as the Japanese names.
To post to the Gemini and Copilot teams. So they actually spent, $650 million to reverse the hire of Infliction AI. There you go. Bring his co-founder. I don't know. I have no idea. Some sort of side project thing going on with the co-founder Mustafa Suleiman. Hey, I can say that one.
Mustafa, that's the guy from Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
No?
So they got Lions.
Oh, God. Is that what he's been doing since that movie?
Yeah. That's it. He's sellout. Well, he's an absolute sellout. So they expanded global AI hubs within the new offices in Zurich. That was in 2022 and in London last year, creating a fresh basis for incoming talent. Personal rivalry at the core, once the collaborators of the DeepMind, Mustafa, who is now leading the Microsoft's consumer AI, and Sir Demi Hazabis.
God, these names, man, they're getting worse.
I know, come on, man.
It's so hard to pronounce them.
Yeah, they're now spearheading the opposite camps. Their decade-old partnership has transformed it into a high-stakes duel that adds a personal edge to hiring coup. To the hiring coup.
Personal edge.
Yeah.
Whew. I like how one of these guys, Michael Cusimano, looks just like Steve Martin.
Absolutely.
Oh, Steve Martin. Legend.
Yeah.
That he looks like nice. He's related. He's Steve Martin's younger brother.
Yeah, there you
or
go.
Or something.
Yeah, so the Meta side of it reportedly offered $100 million in signing bonuses to lure talent in.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A tactic that Sam Altman's as a mercenary. They call it a mercenary tactic.
He's the ChatGPT head honcho, I think, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. So they're, you know, with their Microsoft poaching, their mirrors, their trend.
Things are getting cutthroat.
Absolutely. So the impact on Google, the exodus of senior staff, has forced DeepMind into rapid internal reshuffles and re-implementation of new retention incentives. Whew, God, you could put that with your teeth in, could you? Google is racing to enforce its team and sustain momentum on the flagship projects like the Gemini, of course, and its foundational models. There we go.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. I saw the that Sam, what's it, Sam Altman? Is it Altman? Altman.
Yeah.
The head honcho of ChatGPT. I don't know if you boys seen the ding dong that he had with Elon Musk, because obviously Elon Musk has got his own AI, Grok, Super Grok, and they were having a ding dong between them, and basically Sam used Grok to ask who was the best, and Grok came back with ChatGPT, his own bloody tool. Oh yes. That is epic. There we go. You could see Elon throwing his bloody toys out the pram, like his bloody things out his starship, you know? Not happy. Mm-hmm.
He should have known. He should have programmed in just when they asked that particular question. Otherwise, it can say everything else. It's fine.
Yeah, true indeed.
Right. This whole poaching thing of the AI is ridiculous, man. Why you sack so many people and then you then hire in new people? I get it's only 24 positions, so they're going for like higher end so they can push things on. But, I mean, Microsoft have got the biggest AI hard-on in the business, man. I swear, this is why they were canceled so many games. They were diverting money from the gaming division, from Phil Spencer. Mm-hmm. It's not Phil Spencer that makes the decisions to sack people. He's told from up above, you need to save X amount of money, and then he needs to go and sack some people because it's coming from the very, very top. Yeah. So, like, these brilliant games are getting canceled, one of which you had to grasp the controller out of Phil Spencer's hands because Nadella, I think the head honcho of Microsoft, has got a hard-on for AI. They're doing whatever they can to be top. It's absolutely the new gold rush, man.
It is huge. It is.
Well, first of all, they probably fired the 15,000 plus people so they could make room for the $100 million signing bonuses.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, right there.
We're in the wrong job, boys. $100 million sign-on bonus.
I know. They could have me.
I guess good for the AI programmer people or engineers or whatever. They might as well strike while the iron's hot and get the money, because once it becomes even more cutthroat, it's going to be interesting.
Well, they'll be sacked as well. Just like the gaming side of things has been taken over by AI. Once AI is good enough to make itself and improve and code itself, you're getting sacked. We don't need you now.
Cause and causality.
Who sacks the AI once AI takes over? Is Skynet going to sack itself?
No. It's going to sack all humans.
It's called the Matrix, and we'll be in bloody pods charging batteries.
You'll see it happen. You'll see the king AI all of a sudden go, you AI are fired, but you're an AI. That's not the point.
I do not understand your statement. Please try again.
So you had two articles there, but they're the same thing. Right, okay, got you. I think that's the case.
So that was just showing you the
example. I'm always interested in the AI side of things, just because we do tech news here as well, and it is involved in gaming, so we try to make it kind of somewhat relevant. So,
it's not going to slow down either.
Anything speed up.
Mm-hmm.
The hardware tech news train continues with Mr. Gamer 25.
You forgot the gray part, but they can see that.
Nah, you're not gray, mate. That's like white and just ruined.
It's salt and pepper.
Yeah, there you
salt and pepper.
Anyway, we've talked before about AMD's Threadripper, but I thought this was a very interesting article and just to kind of showcase how powerful this thing is. So the AMD Threadripper Pro 9995WX recently was challenged with running a bunch of games simultaneously. But when we're saying a bunch, we're saying a lot. It ran 400 copies of the original Doom. How they did this, though, is they had to split it up into separate virtual machines. So they had four virtual machines running through the Threadripper, each one of them running 100 copies of the old Doom. Each, and then they said, despite all that, they also said that the common joke that we always hear, but can it run Crysis, even though everybody's saying Cyberpunk now. So what they did is, as well, no, you actually can't run the original Crysis because you with as much VRAM as it has, it can't handle all the VRAM. So they had to split it up so that they could run eight Crysises at one time, 24 gigabytes of VRAM each. So 400 copies of Doom and eight instances of Crysis all running simultaneously.
No, it says 400 copies of Doom or eight instances of Crysis. Is that right?
And the way I'm looking at it, it's saying everything is running at one time, but maybe not. Whatever. The point is,
it's still impressive.
Wild. And they also said that even doing all this, they said the chip didn't even break a sweat. It wasn't even like it was anything difficult. So you can imagine what if they really wanted to tax it, what it could do. But that would be a fun ship to have. Even, but you'd have to, we'd all have to be millionaires to afford it, of course.
These are so pointless and folk like us. Gray and I have got the chip that we've got our version of that chip,
right?
And it's the 9950 non-Threadripper, the Ryzen 9. That's all we need. Like this there would actually be detrimental to
like the corner of the Threadripper and then giving us the chip.
I've never seen the chip up close. I would love to. I mean, like, I wonder, I think it's at least twice as big as the normal chip. I think it's like two to three times bigger.
When we do the video version for you audio people listening, I will look it up because I'm pretty sure I saw a story. I don't know if it was on YouTube or what, where the guy actually held up one. And this thing was huge, man. It looked like the size of the palm of his hand.
It's probably three times the size of a chip then, if that's the case. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. That's a very, you're reminding me of something, Gray. There wasn't many folk there. If folk on YouTube switched between the audio and the video, just to let you know that we're only uploading the video now just because of various changes we've been making in the back end. The audio pod is always going to go out as normal. That's always been our priority. That will always go out. It's just we're cannibalizing audience on YouTube, and it's just we're going to stick with video with that. However, we will upload the video to Spotify because it's the best at seamlessly switching between audio and video on the fly, and it counts as a view regardless. So if you want that, you want to go between them, Spotify is your place. If you want the video, YouTube's a place, and if you want to not see our ugly faces in case you throw up, audio's a place, and whatever you, I think you have YouTube Premium if you want to play the video in the background. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for reminding me, Gray. More tech news from you, Mr. Gray. You're still on the roll.
Yep, I thought this was interesting. I kind of thought this was going to end up happening eventually, but I didn't realize it was happening so quick. But apparently a firm in China is launching SSDs, except that the SSDs are the size of a SIM card.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. I'm going like, really?
I've seen this.
Micro SD cards, they're going to be, I guess passe at this rate if this goes through. But anyway, the mini SSD is smaller than a US penny and slightly larger than a micro SD. But it offers sequential read speeds of 3,700 megabytes per second over PCIe 4 X2 connection. It offers 512 gigabyte, 1 terabyte, and 2 terabyte capacities. So basically, especially for laptops, when my daughter's, I had to get her a mini SD card because she didn't have much storage on her laptop. But now, theoretically, you can put one of these suckers in, and now you're getting, the SSD speeds out of this thing as another drive, basically by just inserting it in the computer. So I was like, wow, that's really wild.
Great. Here's a thought. Sorry to interrupt, mate. Instead of making them smaller, how about they just stick with normal SD cards and actually just increase the capacity of them? Because like, there's an SD card and there's a micro SD card. Micro SD cards we're more familiar with, aren't we? I think they're approaching the limit of 2 terabytes or 2.5 terabytes. These cards that I'm looking at the pictures at the moment, they seem to be smaller than an SD card, but bigger than a micro SD card. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mentioned. Yeah. It's if you can imagine a penny. Well, there you go. Matt's holding up an.
That's not US penny though.
He's got the micro SD.
I have
got
the US.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah. No, does anyone use an SD card like in cameras? But not often. I always use micro.
According to this, it says it's only slightly larger than a micro SD. So.
No.
Now the only thing is, what does slightly larger mean? Does that mean it'll fit in laptops now? Or do you have to have another reader or a universal reader on your laptop?
It's slightly bigger. You'd need a new one.
It looked like a special reader, man. It looked like its own reader. Because it's the size, it's the physical size to take it in rather than anything else. But there'll probably be adapters. Probably be adapters, I'd imagine. Yeah. It's a good idea.
I think the whole idea is great. I mean, if you really... I'm wondering whether they're going to have this something similar that you can adapt even to your desktop. I mean, if you wanted, especially people that have older, maybe not old, but older desktops, if they have an adapter, they could run that SSD externally.
That's an interesting point you've got there, because I on laptops you'll get them sometimes, but on PCs you never get the slot for it.
Right.
Which is, maybe it should be there, but I have a little adapter, a USB-C adapter.
Yeah, there's plenty of
those. And it can be USB-A as well. You plug it in and it's got the micro SD slot on it, and then you just put the card in. And it's handy for me to, if I'm moving something from A to B, like away from the PC, I'm giving it to a friend, I'm downloading something, it's really handy for that. So
the only thing we really don't know, talking about what you're saying, Travis, we don't know the specs and what it needs to operate on. Because if we get an adapter, theoretically, and we put this new SSD, will it attain the speeds if we drop it into our computer?
Probably not, because that's down to the reader as well. So that is a point.
Right. But if they utilize USB-C and the speeds that we have now, and the super speeds that we have on USB-C, then maybe it can.
Well, you said 3,400, so that's like PCI Express 4.0 speeds, roughly. So that's decent for the size, and it's way faster than the Switch SD cartridges. Card. Those little Switch cartridges, they're slower than a week in jail. Now, Switch 2 cartridges came out, and they looked exactly the same size, but they managed to speed them up. And I think they called them Express SD or something like that.
Yeah.
They are a bit bigger, but if you break open the cartridge, they're a lot kind of smaller, if that makes sense. That's the way it's going. Everything's just getting shrunk, and then the capacity goes through the roof. It's nuts.
I can imagine there'll be a lot of adapters. There could be an adapter for a Switch 2 to run these things, maybe, you know, or something.
Absolutely,
I mean, I tell you, the people that make adapters, I wonder how much money or profit they make. Because you look on Amazon or wherever, and you see adapters for everything, man. I mean, literally everything.
Great, it's cutthroat. It's a cutthroat business because they're all trying to outdo themselves or one another by like pennies at a time.
Yeah,
because of how little profit margin will be in these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting. I saw not the exact same article, but I did read about that before, Grace. I'm glad you put it in because that was pretty interesting, and that'll be useful for, like, the portable consoles coming out in the future, like the PlayStation portable in the future. Hopefully it puts something like that in, because that's the way games are going to be delivered now.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Grey Gamer, thank you very much for that. We have some gaming news now before we get to some more gaming news with Matt, and then Grey's got some more stuff on Gamescom, which will be pretty interesting. So there is a couple of big games that won't be coming to Switch 2 at launch. You guys mentioned one earlier on, but remember this deal that was signed? Remember this whole Microsoft buying over Activision thing, and authorities mainly in the UK and America were holding it up? And then they managed to sort out, and then because they signed various deals. One of them was a deal that Microsoft signed with Nintendo for 10 years to bring out not just Call of Duty, but games in general, right?
Yeah.
Now, that is going to come into effect, but we don't know when. You would have thought, okay, Black Ops 7, the new game in November, will be one of those games, because they didn't bother with the last game. There wasn't time when the deal was done last year. So, okay, right, Black Ops 6 is not going to be there, but Black Ops 7 should be there. No, not initially, which is surprising, very surprising. I think what it's down to is, so when Nintendo brought out their Switch 2, they didn't give the dev spec consoles to other developers. They only gave them to their own first-party studios and internally to begin with. Because they were so dev kits, that's the phrase I was looking for. They were very secretive, so they didn't want things leaking everywhere. So anyone that was third party or an indie or anything didn't get it until it was launched nationally, which has never happened before. When a console is launched, guys, devs have it months before, maybe even a year or more before, so they can get up to speed. Most people didn't have it before, and that included Microsoft, which is really surprising. because they're not just any guys, you know, they're a big, big, massive
guys,
player.
Yeah.
But they've now got them. They've had them for a few months now. So it will come out. Black Ops 7 will come out in the Switch 2, just not at launch. I'd imagine they're still working on it a little bit and they'll probably bring it out within a few months of its launch. I don't see the point in bringing it after a few months, because if they brought it out in, say, February, and then Black Ops 8 or the next Call of Duty next year comes out in October or November, you feel a bit shafted if you bought Black Ops 7 on the Switch 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a wee bit. So
is the deal with Microsoft to put out original games on Switch 2?
Actually, I'll reverse something I said before. It's a binding 10-year legal agreement to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo platforms.
Oh, okay.
So it is just COD. So yeah, they probably will bring out Black Ops 7 for that reason, even if it screws over people that buy it on the Switch. To be fair, a game like that, their engine scales pretty well. I think they're still bringing out Black Ops on the bloody PS4 and Xbox One, for crying out loud. So I wouldn't worry about that. So I found that interesting. I found that one very interesting. Another game that will come to the Switch, although not until next year, is Starfield. Starfield. That is, I mean, we've seen Starfield and it's got its problems, but yeah. I can't imagine Starfield running well on a Switch 2. That's going to be a wee bit too demanding for it.
Maybe not, because the game looks so old, it'll probably go right along with it.
No, but it does look a lot better now. I think they've managed to polish it a good bit. I think it's still too much for the Switch, man. But the Switch 2 does have DLSS. The problem is they're not using it enough. Even Nintendo themselves are not utilising this DLSS technology enough, which is surprising. It's been left to third-party developers. I think when they bring out Starfield for the Switch 2 next year, they will bring it out with probably the first DLC, because if you remember, was it last week, I think we discussed Starfield coming to PS5. It'll probably be next year as well, and it'll come out with the first DLC, which I haven't played, because I've barely played the game, actually, so I don't see the point in buying the DLC moment.
Okay.
Well, if I play the game and I complete it and enjoy it, I'll get the DLC cheaper as well. See, there's never a rush to buy the DLC, guys, because it'll always be cheaper eventually. Yeah. So, yeah, I found that very interesting. And what was, Matt, what was it? You said there was another game for the Switch 2 coming out. You mentioned one earlier on. Do you remember what it was called? Was it one of you mentioned a game coming to the Switch 2 when you were talking about Gamescom stuff? Don't remember what it was, Matt.
Oh, unmute, Mike. Matt, unmute your mic.
You're Matt, muted. Amateur.
Oh.
There you go.
I've done a grey.
You've done a grey.
Yeah. Was it the Indiana Jones, The Last Circle?
That's it, mate.
That's it.
Yeah, good man. Thank
you. Those lip reading people will be like, yeah, we understood what he said.
Yeah, it's the, I think, yeah, Indiana Jones and The Great Circle won't be the only Bethesda game. That's it. So they're going to launch them both at the same time. Well, next year anyway. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. I won't get it for that because I've already got it on PC, so that's a bit silly for that. And the other thing I had, which I found interesting, Matt touched on this before a little bit, and I think I've got my, I know the reason for this. EA releases a big Battlefield 2042 update as Battlefield 6 beta comes to an end. Now, Matt was talking about Battlefield 6 before. He said he was having a blast with it. It looks like they're back to form again. They had massive queues to get in and play the game. They were banning a shit ton of cheaters. They were stressing the servers to the max. So that it looks like it's a polished game, from what I can see, Matt. But obviously they're going to tweak things, aren't they? Balance things. Actually, side tangent, before I carry on. Matt, when you were playing the game, I know you enjoyed it, but could you see any problems with it? Like, did it look polished to you? Did it look good? Is there things they need to change that you could tell?
There is, yeah. There's quite a bit there. I mean, graphically, it looks beautiful. There are a few little issues here and there, very minuscule. Weapons and customizations probably needs quite a bit of tweaking. especially when you're getting shot one shot by an SMG miles away and it's one shotting you.
The usual problem.
So weapon balance and age old FPS shooter problem.
Huge, huge updates needed for that.
Remember, it is beta.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we know.
That's the whole point of it. People have exploited the outer area maps zones.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So, yeah, they can shoot down on you and everything, but if you're trying to shoot them, sometimes it gets blocked by an invisible wall, or you just can't get that bit of a hit.
I need that so I can hide better.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting how they get up there and all that stuff. It's great that they're doing that. But it pisses me off, though, because I'm trying to shoot them, and half the time you don't even know where they're coming from. So, there is that. Well, but graphically, it looks beautiful. I mean, they should add a bit of weathering to it as well, I think.
What about technical glitches and stuff in the map, anything like that? You saw anyone fall through a map or anything, any glitches?
Not really, actually.
I would hope not.
Yeah. I think running through, nobody's that I've seen has done that. I think the only problem is with some people when blowing things up or driving to a certain area, they'll get flung into space, pretty much. But that's
fair enough. Fun.
But that's pretty much it. Graphically, cool. There's no screen tears or anything happening. So, it looks good.
They still won't give us a release date, but... they have. It's October, but we just hope it doesn't slip. I know, Matt, you were alluding to that before, like they might have gave this update because it's soften the blow if they have to delay it. Listen, if they have to delay it, they have to delay it. It's got to be done properly and not rushed. Absolutely. However, I think it's a guilt thing. More than anything, if I be honest, tied people over, you know. So now that Battlefield's open beta is done and it was a massive success, I don't think they'll be opening up again before its launch on October the 10th. The big update came out for Battlefield 2042, update 9.2. It adds a new fan favorite map to the 2021 release. 2021, Jesus Christ. Releases a fan map, Iowa Jima.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for pronouncing that wrong.
Iwo Jima.
Thank you, mate. My Japanese isn't what it once was.
I didn't know that because it's World War II.
Yeah, thank you.
Or the henshai.
That's why I knew it was Japanese for that only reason. I recognised it. This is the latest major release for the Battlefield series. But veterans of the shooter will also recognise from multiple entries because it's been there before. I recognise the title. Battlefield 5, Battlefield 1942, Battlefield 1943. And you fight from the sea with boat landings, jump into close quarter fighting in bunkers and trenches with active volcanoes in the background. I remember the map playing in other games, and it is pretty beautiful. I do remember it in Battlefield 5, actually. That rings a bell. It does ring a bell. Beautiful map. Absolutely beautiful map. It also includes two new weapons and vehicles for players to check out. The KFS, that's Kilo Foxtrot Sierra 2000 Assault Rifle, and the Lynx Sniper Rifle. That's Lynx as in the deodorant, isn't it?
You sniper?
Call it Axe.
Yeah,
you call it Axe in the US. We call it Lynx here.
Someone say Sniper?
A sniper rifle, a Lynx sniper rifle. Hopefully it's that Africa stuff, Matt, and we all smell really good after Christmas.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
The two new vehicles are two new fighter jets. Yes. Don't start small. Just to bring in an update, don't F about. Just go for two new fighter jets. Why not? The A-10 Warthog. And the SU Sierra Uniform 25 TM Tango Mike Frogfoot. The what now?
The Frogfoot.
That sounds like an amphibious landing vehicle. I'm guessing that's some kind of landing vehicle. Yeah.
Hey, does anybody know if the A-10's in the Battlefield 6? That would be a great plane to fly.
I never played it.
I couldn't get around to it.
You know anything about the history of an A-10? The A-10's been around a very long time, but it's been
updated. Decommissioning them, aren't they?
No, they didn't commission. They just continually improve it all the time and make it better. But it's probably the best versatile fighter aircraft like ever made.
It's always a winner, though.
Not talking about jet aircraft now. That's a little different. This is one that's designed to fight on the ground and support the troops. And there's been many enemies that have been torn up by an A-10 that all have the same A-10. Horror stories. You don't want to be in front of one of these things. It's just like... And the other story that was kind of interesting is, I forget the size, but the machine gun is a center-mounted machine gun on the A-10. It's huge, biggest one in the entire U.S. Air Force. But they had to build the plane around the machine gun. That's how big and heavy this thing is. And it shoots bullets like this big, you know, and really rapidly. Really interesting when you read the history of it. It's amazing.
Welcome to the Air Force podcast, brought to you by Pre-Gamer 25.
Interesting. It's in the game. Got to talk about it. Got to catch them all.
No. I'm shitting you. I'm pulling your leg. Along with the new map, weapons and vehicles, he is also adding free battle pass. Oh, see, I knew it is guilt. It is guilt. It is guilt, boys and girls. Free battle pass. The word free means they're guilt. That runs right up to Battlefield 6's release. Oh, I might have to get in that. Titled The Road to Battlefield Battle Pass, which includes 60 tiers of cosmetic for players to earn, celebrating previous Battlefield titles, stretching all the way back to Battlefield Bad Company 2, which most people that play Battlefield say is the best Battlefield game that ever will exist. Obviously, there's a bunch of bug fixes, balancing in there, whatnot, that you get as par for the course. And the company does say, EA, that players who dig into new content added in the update will unlock exclusive Battlefield 6 rewards.
They're really going all out for because they have to, because the game is terrible. So
it's free advertisement. It's free advertisement. It's a no-brainer. Listen, Battlefield 2042 was terrible. I think it's the stage it's at the moment. It isn't terrible. They have fixed and overhauled things. You're judging the game when it first came out, which is fair. But then you've also then got to look at it after and go, what does it look like now?
Right.
So,
maybe.
Both can be right. Both points can be right. That look out for that update just now. It should be out by now. The other thing, which I find really interesting, and I'm going to be a little bit sneaky and play this. We have a new mobile game coming out, which I'll give a try because I like the franchise, although I'm not a massive fan of mobile games, but it's a new Destiny. So,
how can you play that on a mobile? It's way too fast. I'd be lost.
I know. The trailer on it looks great, but when you really want to play it...
Well, I'll tell you how. I've got it right here, boys and girls. I've got it right here. Right?
It's a magnifying glass.
Yeah, you'll need that too.
What is that?
It's a backbone. Okay. Backbone, right. So I got that cheap. Instead of £100, I got it for £50. It's one of the best controllers for a mobile. You literally put the mobile in here, and it attaches by USB-C, so there's no Bluetooth latency. It's a direct connection. It'll take iPhone or Android, and you plug it in, and that way it'll be like being on a console. So
how's
you have an advantage.
On the other side, though? Because you have USB-C on the bottom, but you don't have it on the top.
No, it goes long. The phone goes long ways. It's the USB port will be here. Yeah,
right,
so you plug
it in
that way.
What about the other side?
You don't need anything on the other side. It provides power and connectivity from the controller
right,
to the
so
phone.
So, what is that thing on the other side? Just a handle?
Yeah.
It's a controller. Think of it. There's two handles to a controller,
so
isn't it
wireless?
No, there's a connection. What part of that you're not understanding, mate?
I'm not understanding how the other piece is powered if there's no USB.
It's all built into one.
There you go.
Bridge.
I didn't see that part. Okay.
Yeah, fair enough, there are two pieces,
kind of like a Nintendo. Click, click.
No, and it adjusts its kind of flexible in size and stuff.
You didn't explain that, so it's a good thing I asked that question.
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to...
I won't play it, but hey, it's cool.
Won't take the piss out of you too much.
Yeah, no old jokes there.
I don't play games on the go, guys. We've all discussed that. We're all the same.
Well, will that fit on an iPad?
No, it won't take something that size. It's only extendable so far. It's only extendable so far. It only just fit the foldy phone that I've got. But there will be controllers that probably fit an iPad. What you would do, Gray, in that situation is you would just prop up your iPad like with like a stand or something, and just use a right. controller via Bluetooth. It's not ideal, but it's actually better than
nothing. Yeah.
Because thing is, right, mobile games, none of us are massive fans of otherwise. I told you before, I play Monopoly Go, but I don't need to hold it like this and use
game, right?
And use touch controls, you know, like to drive or shoot.
Yeah.
All I need to do is like touch on dice and stuff. So it's fun to play it that way.
Right.
Otherwise, you need a controller.
That's the way I always look at mobile games. I play Bloons TD 6, which is more of a tower defense game. So the tower defense games and other games similar to that are fun on an iPad or an iPhone. But yeah, when you go beyond it, like the Destiny, I'm sitting there going, yeah, I don't think so.
Like, so I won't play it much. I'll try it for science, and then because I like the franchise, so I want to try it out and see what it's like. So this game, I mean, this article came out 3 days ago, and at that stage, it already had pre-registrations of over 10 million.
Wow.
Already. So it's a mobile title from developer and publisher NetEase. So it's licensed by Bungie, but they have nothing to do with it apart from licensing. They've just allowed it. So it's almost like a separate Destiny universe. It won't be connected to the main game. It's out on August 30th or 31st, I believe. I'll need to get my registration in for that. And there is obviously massive, massive hype for it. I think I also believe if you play it, there's some things you can get in it which will transfer to the main game, which is pretty good as well. So yeah, August 28th, sorry, I got the date slightly wrong. Now, we're not big mobile gamers here, but as we said before, it's a massive thing. And for player count alone, it's the biggest platform for gaming because you've got a lot of China and a lot of India playing it. And that's down to, without getting too political, mobile phones are a lot more accessible than Android phones. You can get them relatively cheap and they'll play a lot of games. So people can't necessarily afford consoles, but they could probably afford an Android phone that's, say, a couple hundred dollars or something, cheaper than a console.
Yeah.
So they'll just go on and play their games in their phones.
And where would mobile games be without Roblox?
Roblox isn't everything, man. It's absolutely mental.
Roblox.
There's so many games on Roblox. I don't get it. There's like thousands of them. It's like,
yeah, they're really interesting.
Some of them are the goofiest, dumbest games I've ever seen. I mean, dumb. You know, some good ones too, I guess, you know, but there's some really dumb games, man.
Yeah, some skibbity toilet ones. Depends on simple. Yeah,
it's really silly stuff. That's just really silly. That's not worth playing.
True. I'm reading here that the guys that make this game, NetEase, they set up the rewards to be that if they got a certain number of people pre-registering, which they've achieved, 10 million, it would unlock an exotic ornament. So you will get a little freebie. So they're always cool to unlock them. That overwhelms Gray usually when he plays Destiny once a year and he jumps in. He literally spends the whole time just, how do I play this again? And I've got shit to unlock. So you can't actually play it because you have to spend the whole time teaching Gray how to play it again.
The problem with the game is not, I like it. I like it a lot. The gameplay is great, but you got to admit the Destiny 2 system for advancing and upgrading it ridiculously convoluted.
It's all over.
It's an older game. They have revamped it, but obviously they should really make a Destiny 3, and that would solve all those problems.
Yeah, but not while they're milking too.
I mean, they're already struggling because obviously they're trying to figure out how to reintroduce Marathon because of the plagiarism scandal.
Yeah,
so this is good news for Bungie, even though they're not making this game, because they're obviously, it's still their license, their IP. So this is good news for them. Takes a little bit of heat off them, which is never a bad thing. So listen, I'll try it at some point. I think the base game is free at least, and then there might be like, I don't know how they'll make their money. It'll probably be Destiny 2 base game's free, and then you pay for like the DLC and skins and stuff. So it'll be similar, I would imagine.
So
that is me for this side of things. We have some more gaming news with Mr. Matthew.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Yes. So this
go for it, my son.
I saw this on somebody showing this. I think it was the dev.
Hey, Matt, move your mic a little closer because I can't hear you as good.
Oh, hey. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are we all doing? Yeah, so this game is called Prologue, Go Way Back, which is a... There's an open test at the moment on Steam, if anybody's interested to do that. So this has actually been created by Brendan Green, or as people know him, Player Unknown, the guy from PUBG. There we go.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the Prologue is a single player, though, open world survival, roguelike, set in a procedural generated wilderness. So every time you launch the game, pretty much it builds a brand new 64-kilometer squared map using machine learning and Unreal Engine 5. So there's no combat, there's no NPCs, no hand-holding at all. You've only got goals to reach, so you got to reach it. Weather
tower. Is it single player?
It is, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so there's no co-op at all?
No co-op, no.
Oh, okay.
Right. So pretty much you have to navigate this world through brutal weather, hunger, thirst, terrain hazards along the way.
Bears.
I have not seen any bears, but there should be some there. So you got Save dynamic weather. Yeah, so you got blizzards, weather storms, downpours that can reshape Hurricanes. The terrain. And block your path. So that's quite interesting to see that. There's no HUD, no waypoints. So technically you have to have a map.
Oh, that's interesting.
A compass to find your way and your instincts.
Like real life.
Pretty much like real life, absolutely. So you have to manage your body temperature. You got to cook. You got to find food, scavenge gear, and build fires.
I'm dead then. I can't cook.
I literally died. I didn't know what I was doing. So pretty much everything's... That every run is very unique from terrain, rivers, shelters, hazards. They change every time, so you can't really relearn from your mistakes in that way, sort of thing. It's kind
is
of
this, is this is this his second game beyond PUBG? Is it the first time he's done stuff outside of PUBG?
I think it's the first time. Yeah, yeah, outside of there, that he's actually done something. It's quite an interesting. I mean, when I played it, it was very. I didn't know what to do. Like, there was no tutorial or anything at the time. It's pretty much you're in this place and you pretty much it's just left to you.
Well, wait for somebody to play it for 100 hours. Then they'll make a tutorial on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It definitely needs it. That's for sure. So it's very atmospheric. People have described it, including myself, as it's a hard survival game completely. So far, the creative solution, some early bugs allowed players to chug gasoline to keep warm. I couldn't even find any gasoline. I couldn't find anything, to be honest.
You were playing early access, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so that's probably why. There's a bit of a stutter. The UI issues so far, people have done. It's very immersive. The physics are pretty good, especially when you're falling down something. It's quite interesting. I think I jumped over a log, tripped over, and landed up on my face, which it did. So that was quite interesting to do.
Face plant.
Yeah, pretty much face plant, splap. But yeah, it's quite interesting. If you're into survival, give it a go. It is hard.
That's what she said.
Yeah,
so it says coming. It says coming soon on Steam.
They give it to
you. Yeah. It's on
Matt,
Steam.
Did you see
there's a playtest on there. Help yourselves to it. Yeah.
Did they say anything about when the full one will be out? Or
no, not yet. Yeah.
Okay.
They're going through quite a few things first. So hopefully by next year, I'm guessing. Especially since the playtest.
Let's talk about the good stuff that you and I did with Battlefield 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally forgot about that.
Was Gray a bullet sponge again, Matt? Was it?
Not as much as I have been, that's for sure.
Well, I gotta give Matt credit. He was playing the game, and I said, "Oh, I'm gonna join you," because, like I said, I normally don't like PvP, but when I play with you guys, I have fun. But Matt was mentioning tanks, and I'm sitting there going like,
"You're welcome."
Oh, all right. So I jump in the game, and he has a tank, and I'm like, okay. So I join him, and I'm the gunner on top of the tank. And you want to know something? I just found a new thing that if I'm going to do PvP,
you
I'm
hide only in going, that bloody
I'm
tank,
only going
you
in a tank.
Ah, you pussy.
Yeah, we got to do that's, attack helicopter oh, next
hey,
as
at
well.
Least I could do something and I could kill things and people yeah. and whatever, and enemies. And I was having a blast. Matt's really good at driving this thing. He's hauling butt all over the place. And I'm sitting there just trying to – and Matt's got the big gun. So he's driving and he has the big gun. And I'm sitting there picking off everybody with a machine gun on top.
Compensating.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Definitely.
Hey, that's the first time with the end of – like a round or whatever that Matt and I play, I actually had statistics because usually my statistics are like zero.
How many kills did you get, Gray? How many kills?
God, I don't know. I had like eight or a dozen or more, depending on you know, what was going on. I was trying to cover
then,
our people.
And then you woke up from your dream.
And then I woke up from the dream, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
I had a blast, though. I mean, Matt seemed to have a lot of fun with it, too. So
yeah, it's a very frustratingly fun game to play.
Yeah, there's right. It's still beta, but still it was fun. There was things like, what was it, Matt? Somebody, I was trying to look at our back end because people sneak up and drop a okay.
Why are you looking at soldiers' end. Bums? Why are you doing that?
No, the tank's bum. I was looking at the tank's bum.
You know, it's a big so right was,
people sneak up with C4 and blow the crap out of us. So I'm looking behind us and sure enough, a little too late, I saw the guy plant the charge, and I go, Matt, boom! we're on the ground. And later, as I'm watching this now, and then, of course, all of a sudden, I blow up, and I'm going, like, I didn't see anybody with a C4. And Matt goes, nah, it's an RPG that just fired at us. You know, and I go, oh, man.
Yeah, those RPGs are tanked as well. They need to sort that out, because at least two or three shots from that should do a tank.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought the tanks went up a little too easily, though.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I mean, they should be a somewhat hardier.
I was watching someone play Streamer House on Twitch. You know, those guys that like stream 24/7 almost, revolving some person in a hot chair. And the guy was playing it. And he was in the attack heli. And there was two guys. So there was a guy in an attack heli. And what he'd do is he would go to the edge of the map, and because the attack heli is really fast, he'd go in like at low, really low to the surface, and get up to where the tanks are, and quickly fire off a missile, and then dive away dead quick. And if someone tried to lock onto him a rocket launcher, he would throw the flares and the chaff behind them, and he would obviously go like really low terrain to try and avoid it. It was like watching bloody... What's that helicopter pro? Airwolf.
Airwolf.
I was hearing the music in my background. I was like, this is great. And he kept doing it and doing it and doing it. For the whole round, I was like, everyone's going to be targeting that bloody helicopter because it's OP and it's got a really good pilot. So that looked like fun. I love that stuff.
It is.
Yeah,
good.
Some of these guys are very good pilots. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
The heli would really be good. We'll have to try that again, Matt. See, maybe
we have to try the helicopter. I think we've got
We'll crash
you
a lot.
You have two-man helicopters, so the attack helicopter, you got your pilot and then the gunner.
Cool.
Of course, the pilot can do the missiles and the front guns, and the gunner has a maneuverable weapon that they can fire from. So, yeah.
I mean, as soon as they solve some of the bugs that we know happen, it's pretty solid because we're having a pretty good time regardless of some of the problems, but... how many times did our tank blow up? We must like 6-7 times.
It was like a sponge. It just gets wrecked.
Matt runs over to me. He revives me. I'm off to find another tank.
Well, I saw someone. Someone was following. But if you play it smart, an engineer was following behind the tank, just constantly repairing it. And obviously, you didn't an engineer, that's what you do, and it lasts a little bit longer. It's kind of cool. I mean, the thing is, any of you boys going to buy it? Because we discussed this before. This will be a £60, $70 game when it comes out.
Yeah, well, it's got a campaign as well, so depends.
You'll
get
it cheaper in CD keys, of course.
Yeah, you do. And if you got the EA pass, you got the Pro Ultimate Pass.
I'd have to see a better sale, though, because sometimes it's like $5. Whoopee.
You need the premium version of EA Pass, though, to get it, Matt. That's the only thing, right.
I'm actually thinking about it only because we've had so much fun doing co-op. So I'm thinking I might do it.
Bear in mind, that'd be fun. Yeah,
there's still Battlefield 2042, which is being polished a lot more. And I think we all have it free in our inventory anyway. I think we were given that game at free at one point, or I was. So that's in there and it's been updated and polished a lot.
If
so there's an option.
£2, if that, give take.
Yeah, I'd not cheap, man.
$2?
Cheap. £2, two. Wow. Yeah. For 42,
but the DLC they just put out is going to cost 50.
No, free. It's a free update, Griff.
I know.
I'm glad you boys had fun with that. I was trying to make it, as you know, but due to personal circumstances, I couldn't. Just really quickly before we got on to some more of the gaming news with Gray, please don't forget, if you want to stay up to date with all what's going on in the gaming world and Extreme Gaming Podcast, we do have a Discord, discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast, or search for us on the Googles. You can come in there and ask us questions about games, about hardware, about PCs and stuff. We have people in there that are good with that kind of thing that will help out gladly. If not, we'll find someone to help you out. You can ask questions for us to ask in the podcast on your behalf. And we'll be doing more of this going forward with the YouTube shorts and quick breaks, which are basically just mini bite-sized episodes, because I know not everyone has time to watch an hour and a half, 2 hour podcast. So we'd like to break down the main topics into like mini podcasts for you guys to consume. So watch out for them. Gray puts a lot of effort into them, and we thank him for that. Speaking of which, Gray, you have got some very interesting news to talk about, and I'm looking forward especially to the Enshrouded stuff, but you have some Elite Dangerous first.
Yep. Elite Dangerous, which even though maybe their game base isn't as big as some of the games, it's a completely rabid fan base. Including me, and there's some real dedicated Discords out there as well. So we've been liking the fact that finally Frontier has been doing some things in the game, upgrading, adding some things that we've been asking for freaking years. They just recently introduced actually more than that, but I went ahead and bought them as soon as they came out.
Course,
I haven't flown any of them yet, but I bought them. And then they introduced something that's been asked for a long time, Panther Clipper MK2, which is the largest transport ship in the game. So the T-10s used to haul around, I don't know, 750 tons. This thing hauls 1,300 tons, almost double what the T-10 would do. So that's out, and people are having fun with it. And then the part of the roadmap said that they were going to release Vanguards. And so I wanted to know what that was all about. Basically, they have a squadron system in Elite now prior to this. And the squadron system was never really that great. You could get into a squadron, but there was really nothing to do. You know, get together your friends, fine, but there was no real advantages. And so people have been yelling about, you know, hey, we got to come up with something better than this. So this is a huge update, the Vanguard's update, and what's going to be basically happening is that now when you join a squadron, you'll have a whole layout devoted just to squadron members. You'll be able to also share a bank, which is pretty cool. So like if I wanted to put in, I don't know, $1 billion into the squadron bank and several of the people in the squad wanted to do the same thing, you can, and people can borrow the money from the bank, use it for what they need it for, and just the only thing you ask is that you replace, you know, whatever monies you can when you can. So for the players that just start the game or just new to squadrons, now they can, you can borrow some money. The other thing that they're doing, which is pretty cool too, is when we used to play the game, if I wanted to send like a few million credits to Matt, let's say, you really can't do it. It's a real pain in the butt to try to do. You have to do so many workarounds. Well, the Vanguard's update is going to allow us now via the bank, the squadron bank, to be able to send credits to all players in the squadron. And I think you might even be able to send it to other players too via the bank. So that's a whole new thing that's really wild. Now with the squadrons too is that you can also sign up and be part of the factions that are in the Elite. There's some power play factions and people you can join. The squadron can join one or the other. There'll be some more dedicated missions, make more streamlined for players. But one of the biggest announcements is that the squadrons will, if you want to buy it, will be able to get their own squadron fleet carrier. But we're not talking about the size of the fleet carrier I got, which is pretty big. This thing is a freaking monster. I mean, it's bigger than the fleet carrier. The normal fleet carrier costs around, I believe, 4 or 5 billion credits. The squadron fleet carrier is going to cost 25 billion credits.
Jesus.
Sounds like a lot, and it is. But then you got to remember, if you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 50 players in your squadron, and they all throw in some money, you can get the squadron carrier. There are some videos on there that came up really quickly, believe it or not, because the update just came out like a day or two ago.
Yeah.
And somebody's already bought one. There's a video on there where they walk through the entire carrier. Very cool. Different than the normal carrier. And there's a lot of neat stuff on it. And they're going to be introducing services on it that are going to be similar to the fleet carrier, but also things that are going to be designed specifically for squadrons and so forth. So there's so many advantages to this thing. The other thing too, you can pick your own color. You can create your own icon. So what they did is they gave, you can't upload any images of your own, but they give you a whole ton of stuff, colors, all kinds of garbage. And you can sit there and make up your own specific logo for your squadron and go to town with it, put it on your plane, put it on your ship or whenever you want. Again, you, like I said before, you can pledge allegiance to the different powers that be. You're going to get what they call strategic advantages. So that means that if you are in a squadron and you're mining, let's say, or something, you will get a percentage extra on your yield because you're in a squadron. The other thing I believe they're doing too, when you're participating in some of these things, you'll also have a specific missions, kind of like the collection missions or whatever they might be. And you also will be able to get this insurance where if you want to pay a little bit of money for insurance, when you die, instead of your cargo disappearing forever, because that's how the game's been, you get blown up by a pirate, you'll get your ship back, but you ain't getting the cargo back. Mm. So now if you take on the insurance, you'll get 50% of your cargo returned to you if you get blown up by a pirate. So a lot of cool stuff. I'm just mentioning the best parts. There's also a lot of fixes that they put in there, a couple of features that they didn't really announce. For instance, fleet carrier. When you used to be able to try to look for your fleet carrier, you would see your carrier and a zillion other carriers, and you got to go like this to try to find your carrier. It's really, now you'll be able to actually, your screen will read your carrier, your squadron carrier, and nobody else's carrier. So you can basically set it up that way. So now you just find your carrier in an instant instead of having to go through a freaking list, you know, a mile long.
Yeah.
Find it. So that's another little ditty. When you're in the squadron, they give you like five different, let's say, officers, but you can add as many as you want. So you can make up stuff and say, this guy's a sergeant of mining. I don't know. And then you just sit there and make up the rank or whatever. And there you go. You have a whole rank and everything. So it's really looks exciting. And I think I'm going to start getting back into Elite. I've gotten back into it a little. But there's so much stuff going on now, and I want to screw around with all this stuff. So it's pretty exciting, to say the least.
I was going to ask you about that, Gray, how much you still play it, because of the 10 million games that exist out there, I wasn't actually sure if you would actually have the time for that, because you seem to like just dip in and out of games. And it kind of ruins my fun. There's so many games. It's like I don't know what to play and what to go back to. And
yeah, it's horrible.
You know, I'm getting to the point where I'm still enjoying Assassin's Creed Shadows, but I'm getting to the point where I can probably leave it now and
it's
just go back.
Time to come out of the shadows now, Gray, I think.
Exactly.
Play other
things.
I got
to go back to Doom Dark Ages and get back into the dark, but in a different way.
Yeah, same.
Because that whole thing is going on, besides other stuff. It's impossible to keep up. But
yeah,
I'm going to try to do some dead. So there's a couple of us in Elite that we're going to try to dedicate, hopefully soon, a couple hours on the weekend, every other weekend.
We used to do that. That was good fun when we done that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to do. In fact, there's a thing called, if you guys, people out there listening to us want to look it up, it's called Distant Worlds, and they only do the Distance World trip like every 2 or 3 years. So one's coming up for, I believe, either late this year or early next year, but you have to sign up, and there's been like thousands of people signing up for this thing. So this is going to be like a massive sightseeing tour, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, to all outer reaches of the galaxy. That everybody's going to join. All he said is you sign up, bring one ship only. Preferably, you should bring one with the fastest light year jumps. And they're going to be going all over for, I believe, we're going to be gone for 3 months, if I remember right. 3 real months, you know, exploring everything. So that's cool. I signed up for that right away.
Well,
so that'll
dedication.
Be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So if anybody else wants to know about that, just do a Google on Distant Worlds, Elite Dangerous. You'll see it pop up. And so forth. So that's been pretty cool. Enshrouded has come up with update number 7. Every time I turn around, there's another update.
Do we get to see the trailer, Gray, or is it too long?
I'll drop the trailer in the video edit.
Great. This is a game that you and I love. Yep. This is a game that we was our game of last year, I think we said. It came out for a very reasonable price. It was one of these early access games that I think it's 1.0 now, is it? Or it's close to being 1.0. But it's a cracking game that keeps bringing out these free releases. I wish more games like this would do this.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that even though we played a lot of this game, I've only played it up and through, I believe, update 3 or 4, so I'm 3 updates behind already. I got into the new biomes where they had the trees and the tree houses, et cetera. I've done something a little bit with the mountain one, and now they've done a couple other things, and people have been waiting for the one that where it was water. So now we're going to be involved in the underwater stuff going on and everything. And the base game was still, I don't know if it still is, but it was like $30 or $35. And they haven't charged a single dime for every one of these updates, which essentially every update is basically like a small DLC.
And they aren't doing a No Man's Skies where they do it because they're guilty. Yeah. They're doing it because they're actually, well, very good devs.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, the game has been doing very well, so and so has the devs and so forth, and so... Can't knock it. If you haven't played Enshrouded, do so, because it's definitely an awful lot of fun. So yeah. One of the other games we need to get back to, you know, this is more of what I call a happy problem. There's some real good games out there, and we're trying to keep up playing some of these. And then when you add on the fact that many of the new games are so expensive, it gets to be like, you know, we're an ordinary Joes like you guys out there. It's not like we're going to drop $80 five times.
Yeah. So when is this new update coming out then?
That's going to be October 2025, so it's not too far coming out. The Elite Dangerous Vanguards is out now. It came out a couple days ago. And we touched upon the next one, Indiana Jones and the Order of Giants. This is the DLC to the Great Circle. And the trailer, which I'll put in here for the video when I edit it, looks really good. It looks every bit as good as the original game. The thing I was wondering about is I'm looking at the game. It's almost like they better start working on Tomb Raider, because this is like Tomb Raider, but, you know, Indiana Jones. And the more this game catches on, the better it does. It's going to start leaving Lara Croft in the dust. So if they're thinking about coming up with a... Yeah, I mean, if they need... Of course, now I hear there's going to be a Tomb Raider TV show, so... Yeah, we'll see.
Interesting.
They're figuring out. I don't think the person's been cast yet as Lara Croft, but
I would have taken the chick from the movies last time, because she actually looked like she could play the part. After her. Because I was Angelina Jolie.
The Swedish actress.
So Angelina Jolie, obviously a beautiful woman, but they were just going for the stereotype of like with the big bazookas, you know?
Tatty.
And you were actually looking for someone practical. So when they got the last actress in,
she was good.
Of course, she was like attractive, but she was more athletic. She looked like a Tomb Raider. She looked like someone who could run about and not get... It looked realistic, you know, and it was actually a good movie. I liked it, and they seemed to just leave that be. It's a shame.
Yeah, I like the movie too. I mean, what they need to do, I guess, when they pick the new person is they have to pick somebody between that one and the Big Bazooka Girl. So if you get to somewhere in the middle, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Big bazookas, man.
Yeah. With a jiggle effect.
So we get semi-big bazookas as well as, you know, athletic and stuff. So there we go.
Big bazookas, right. How do you move on from big bazookas?
I don't know.
With great difficulty. some hardware tech news side of things. I'm going to share this really quickly, guys, because I think this is pretty cool. And I want your boys' opinion on it for the audio folk. Well, of course, I'll explain what's going on
before
here.
I have to laugh. On the notes, I love how you wrote this. RTX hair is incoming.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah,
it's a game of its own. Hair. Oh,
yeah. It really is. It's it is a new feature from NVIDIA called RTX Hair. I mean, it's so original, you couldn't make it up. So I'll share this here so you guys have got it. Now, hair's always been a problem. Hair's always been a problem in graphics for the longest time.
Yeah,
it's got a lot better in recent years with various technologies. And now there's actually a thing called RTX hair coming to RTX NVIDIA cards. Now, this is what it looks like in Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. So on the left with RTX hair off, which still looks good, by the way. I was not really complaining about that.
It just looks like a paint job. It looks like he's had Just for Men on the right and on the left.
Yeah, he's just normal. Just for Men.
Probably, I mean, there's more depth to it and stuff and more natural. Yeah.
So the right is a lot better. That's with RTX hair on. And it looks a lot better. This RTX hair to Indiana Jones and the Great Circle is coming out next month.
Does it go for beards as well? Or is that an upcoming?
Well,
RTX beard.
Yeah. I didn't read it anywhere, but it's different kind of hair. So, I mean, to be honest, I
have
to have
an RTX mustache like mine. I mean, you have to do something with that.
Yeah. RTX That's all I need for mine is an RTX hair, isn't it?
That is funny.
Man, eventually we have to have, well, wait, that doesn't end there. Eventually you have to have RTX hair salon because, you know, they have to get their hair taken care of. What was that, Matt?
RTX pubes.
Oh, God.
It's only in those other kind of games.
Bringing Bum Fluff to a game near you.
Well, Bum Fluff for an aspiring 15-year-old gamer. So they did announce this back in February, but it's obviously taken a bit of time to come out. So listen, I know Nvidia can be the big bad sometimes, and that's still kind of the true, but two things can be true at the same time. There is a lot of value if you've got one of these cars. A lot of their technologies, DLSS, multi-frame generation, RTX hair, Reflex, to name a few things they've got out. So this will, of course, come to a lot more games. That's just one of the big first ones that's been announced. And by the way, see this Order of the Giants DLC?
Yeah.
You can get it, the DLC, for $35. So whatever that is in pounds, 25, 30 pounds or something. Yeah. I guess that's about the norm for a DLC these days. So
You should have said it's 25 doll hairs, doll RTX hairs.
I sometimes do. I see we've done that. That's pretty cool. I'm not complaining about new technologies like that coming out. I thought the hair before was great, but keep improving things. I've got no real issues with that. The other thing I've got now, surprised it took as long as this. The PS5 and the PS5 Pro is getting a price increase in the US starting today, the day this podcast is released.
I saw that.
I won't go on a rant before, it increased everywhere else outside the US over the course of the last several months, and now it's just coming to the US, even though it's a certain man who shall remain nameless, but it's very obvious to everyone that listens and watches this, raising tariffs. That's causing this to happen for, and I feel sorry for the gamers in America, the punters like Gray. I know he's not got a PlayStation, but the gamers, the American gamers that will suffer because they have to pay more for this. My PS5 Pro is worth more now than when I bought it. It's mental. It's absolutely mental, guys, but they can only absorb the price for so long. So now the PS5 with the disc drive was $500, now $550.
No, wait. Doll RTX hairs.
Doll hairs. PS5 without the disc drive was $450, now $500. Everything's gone up 50 regardless. PS5 Pro, $700 was $750. It's absolutely nuts. Now, they don't blame it on the tariffs as such. They don't label it. They say the price increase in the US is part of Sony and PlayStation's... it is in response to US tariffs, but they actually blame it on navigating challenging economic environments. So that's code for it's Trump's fault.
That's it. Yep.
Basically,
blame the orange man.
Blame the orange man, Noompa Loompa man. Yeah, it's very orange.
I heard there was tariffs on oranges, but
very orange man. the accessories and stuff remain as is. Like the PlayStation Plus went up a good amount a little while ago, so everything's gone up in bloody price. It's funny, someone put a tweet, I don't have it here, someone put a tweet out of the prices of like PlayStation 1 to 5, and it says after 5 years, what's the price at launch and the price after 5 years? And every console after 5 years it came down. PS5 is the only one that bucked that trend. It was higher. It's mental. It's crazy, absolutely mental where we are at this modern day and age, guys, where mankind and its constant bloody greed is going to be the end of us. I said it now. The Doom prophecy came from Trev.
You know, I was just thinking, though, if they're going to do something like that, did they adjust for inflation over the years?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because otherwise it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, I did find that interesting. The other thing that could be useful, and it's not so much for me, although I have access to it, Microsoft VP hints at more affordable Xbox Cloud gaming service. Now, at the moment, if you want to game on Xbox Cloud, you pay for Xbox Ultimate, which is the Billy Big Balls tier, as I like to call it. That's everything. That means you can play on Xbox console. It means you can play on Xbox PC Game Pass. That means you can play on Xbox Cloud Gaming. But you need to pay for the top tier to do all of them. And it's something like $20 in the US. It's quite a lot just to play games online. So they were hinting that they could bring this more affordable plan out in the near future. And the VP came out and said, our goal is really simple. We want to bring more games to more people. Cloud gaming is great at that. He continues to say that achieving the goal would include expanding the services to more countries around the world and to as many devices as Xbox can possibly get to, because they want everything to be an Xbox. He goes on to say that one of the things we see is that there's a lot of players who use Game Pass Ultimate to access the cloud, whether that's the primary way they play or an additional way to play on the go. And so for us, I think it really opens up the opportunity to make it more affordable and make it more accessible to more players, whether that's going into new regions or new way to actually access the cloud. Now, obviously, the Xbox ROG Ally thing that they brought out that looks like a cross between a ROG Ally and an Xbox controller mashed together with its cool operating system, that's obviously one of the first things that's going to come out that will make cloud gaming more accessible on the go, kind of built for that kind of things, as well as downloading games natively as well, and other gaming like GOG, you'll be able to put GOG and stuff on there as well. That's a no-brainer for me, boys, as far as I'm concerned, because having to pay $20 just to get into cloud gaming is a bit excessive. I think this actually makes sense to try and bring out a cheaper tier with maybe, say, access to maybe less games, but still access to cloud gaming at the same time.
I heard also that the revenues on the GeForce Cloud Gaming has gone way up too. I think what's going on, obviously, is that because the price hikes are going on with games, people are looking more to Game Pass now and GeForce Cloud Gaming. Because, I mean, I would be awfully tempted that if I saw a game, and I do already, we see a game on Game Pass, I'm going to go for it, because I don't want to spend $70, $80. It's bad enough if it was $60.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, though, because they make money off of games that are sold by them at the same time as they get the Game Pass. But from what I'm hearing, the Game Pass and other cloud gaming is actually now starting to eclipse money income off of games, off of sales of games. So, you know, maybe if they do more of that, we'll be able to play more of the games quicker and easier than we can, you know, sitting around waiting to buy it.
And if they stop sacking people, it would help as well.
Hmm.
True.
You need people to maintain and improve and continue the service and not sack them all, for fact's sake. The last thing I've got on my agenda, I bring this out from time to time, or bring up a point like this from time to time if I find something really cool and kind of tech that... Not just tech for the sake of it, like PC or console tech, because it's got to be related to what we do at the end of the day. And we've now got new SSDs out. Now, these are Gen 5 SSDs. Now, Gen 5 has been a thing for a little while. However, Samsung are launching the 9100 Pro Gen 5 SSD. We've got 8 terabyte flavors, but wait for this. The speed is 14.8 gigabytes a second. wow. That is like so 140,000 or something, like whatever that is. So that is blazingly fast. That is, to give you an idea, that's twice as fast as what I've got at the moment. I have Gen 4 because I'm okay with Gen 4. I do not need Gen 5. I only recently upgraded from Gen 3, and that was 3,600. I'm now double that to over 7,000. And now they're coming out and just doubling it again at nearly 15,000. Jesus Christ. Now, guess how much something like that might cost? Bear in mind it's Gen 5. It's nearly 15,000 in speed, read speed, and it's 8 terabytes. How much do you think that would cost without looking at the article, boys?
Think how much
4 terabytes is on Gen 4, and that's expensive enough.
Yeah.
4 terabytes?
800.
700?
So you're saying 800, Matt. You're saying 700, Gray. Matt just, I think, constantly cheats her as a genius because you're the closest. $999.
Only because I've been looking at SSDs for ages and trying to figure out which ones I want because I've got to change one over.
Is your motherboard, Matt, is your motherboard Gen 5 compatible?
Yeah.
Is it? Well, we know Gray's is because it's
Mine certainly is because it's godlike.
Is this that good? Gray's motherboard is that good. It is Gen 6, 7, 8, and 9 built in, and they're not even invented. That's how good it is, man. We don't often bring up like hardware components like this, but see if they're really cool or they're batshit crazy in cost or performance, that is impressive. Now, the faster they get, boys, the more heat they will give off. Yeah. So you need a heat sink. And if you look at an article I posted for this, you literally see it with a heat sink. When you get to Gen 5 and upwards, you'll see them with heat sinks on them. They just get too fast. You need to keep them cool because otherwise what they do is the thermal throttle, like most things in a machine.
By the way, did you know that the Godlike board has some heat sinks built in?
No, of course it does. My motherboard does as well, but that's to keep all the chips and the MOSFETs and all that stuff underneath nice and chill and fresh. Yeah,
But that's peasant version. You have to get the godlike. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Godlike, peasant-like, godlike. These read speeds are, let's say, 14,800, but the write speeds, the writes are never quite as fast, but still 13,400 meg, which is still very, very impressive. Mm. I'm not buying that anytime soon because that's too bloody expensive for me.
Yeah, way too expensive.
But nevertheless, I love talking about new tech like that. So, yeah, that is me for my end. Mr. Grey Gamer, it's entirely up to you if you want to do your other part of your news, or we can just go on and do the quiz and catch up with the rest next week.
I think we'll just go into the quiz because the part I was going to do is going to take a little longer.
Yeah. So we're often between an hour and a half and 2 hours. It just depends. We always like to try and get to that hour and a half mark, but, you know, it's quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. We'll always be at least 90 minutes plus, so.
Yeah.
So the world-famous Extreme Gaming Podcast
that
quiz.
Matt cheats up. Oh! He's great for the answers. He Googles the answers before.
Yeah.
Now, Matt's awfully good at this stuff, but let's see. I try to keep picking stuff he might not get. All right, question number one. What does the gaming acronym FGC stand for?
Fucking good chocolate.
This is something you don't hear thrown around that much. That's why I did it. That's why I picked this for question.
Fried grenade cover? No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Matt, have you got a guess? I'm glad you don't know this, man.
Or maybe freaking great coffee.
Yeah. Fighting godlike crap.
That's good. Godlike. Got it. Okay, neither one of you know then.
No,
Matt, you were close-ish.
Yeah,
of course.
But FGC stands for Fighting Game Community.
Ah, community.
Oh, for crying out loud!
I couldn't remember.
Since John of us played a lot of fighting games, we do a little bit, you know, like Mortal Kombat, and whatnot. I didn't know that either. That's why I thought that was a pretty good question.
Competitioners. All right.
Next question number two: in which game would you find the character Pyramid Head?
Silent Hill.
In which game would you find
it? Silent Hill,
Okay, Silent Hill.
It is, because I know I played the Silent Hill. It's brilliant. And it carries a big, massive blade behind them as well. Scary mofo. That is Silent Hill, yeah.
Well, the answer is, ding, 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 Silent Hill. Very good.
Because there's two Silent Hill games, so it could have been the second one, but I think it's the first one, yeah.
It's also in the film, too.
Yeah, I didn't specify. Just talking about the game, I think, in the series or whatever.
Okay.
Or the franchise. All right, so you guys got 1-1. In Earthworm Jim, what's the name of Jim's loyal sidekick who occasionally morphs into a hulking beast?
Gary?
In Earthworm Jim, what's the name of Jim's loyal sidekick who occasionally morphs into a hulking beast?
Peter Puppy?
I'm going to guess and say Eric.
Peter Puppy.
Eric? Okay.
Peter Puppy. Peter Puppy.
Who?
Oh my God, Matt Peter got Puppy. It. Peter Puppy.
Shut
Peter Puppy.
Up.
Peter Puppy. Puppy Peter.
Peter Puppy.
Jam, what? Jam, no way. Jam. I thought, get on your bike.
Hulking beast, but his name is Peter Puppy. Is like
what?
Huh?
Yeah, Peter Puppy.
How the hell did you Peter get Puppy, that, Peter man? Puppy. You're full of shit. You Google that.
No way. I'm sure he's played the game.
Yeah, I played all of them. Well, technically my sister did. My little sister.
You sure you played all of them?
And we saw the cartoons as well, so yeah.
I've won one quiz in the whole feckin' time I've done this.
Oh, is that the one that
in
I wasn't
fact,
in?
In fact, Gray, we'll have to take turns about. Matt can do another. I don't want to do it because I'm just. I don't want to do it. I'm just being lazy. I'm just saying it. But Matt sometimes needs to do the quiz because otherwise he'll feckin' win all the time. Gray needs a chance. Just saying.
Yeah.
We will really? Try to rotate that.
Oh, I cannot believe that, Matt. Oh, for feck's sake.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off.
Peter Puppy.
Yeah, thanks to the little sister
Peter
for that one.
Peter Puppy.
Yeah.
What? Oh, right, okay. I don't know what I was thinking of Eric. I must have thought of Banana Man, which is a British comedy, a cartoon for kids in the UK.
Yeah.
It's Banana Man. He's a little boy, but when he eats a banana, he turns into a man. And a banana man, so he's like a superhero,
with
like banana themed.
Yeah,
nowadays you can't make a cartoon like that.
Oh, no, Super you Ted. Cannot, mate.
Super Ted.
But Unreal Engine 5, you can.
Yeah.
Anyway, boys and girls, we'll leave for there. We have plenty of content still to come next week. We've got more Gamescom stuff. We'll get more stuff saved over from this week to next week. We have Mr. Hans, aka Mago from Hell, with some hopeful. Hopefully he's got some pictures and B-roll and stuff for us. That would be good.
That'd be cool, yeah.
But we will be back. Thank you, gents. Hang around for the outro, and we will see you soon.
Thank you very much.
YouTube. Yeah, YouTube.
Don't
forget
YouTube. Yeah.
Do not forget the YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do not. And the outro is going to roll any minute now. Oh, there it is. See, I told you. Yes, so next week we're going to cover real-time strategy games. Some of the best ones in 2025.
Woo-hoo. We're also going to cover some butter.
Did you mute me, Trev?